Hello and welcome to the Mal and Johnny Show. The sun is shining. That's amazing, Johnny, isn't it? It's the first time since last July, I think. Is that right?
Oh, I'm so fed up with the rain. I've been out this morning because it's such a nice day, and I've captured all my patio area. But my back is killing me now.
So, let me just put this right. Well, Karcher is an adjective as well as a noun. To Karcher.
Well, it's a power washer.
Yeah. Okay, I think everybody's going to be worried, Johnny. What have you done to your nose?
Well, talking about the sun, there was a bit of sun damage there because you know me. I've been singing all over the blinking world in hot countries and so on. And it was a bit. It was just a bit not itchy. It was just a bit like crusty. So I went to the doctor. He said, "Oh, it's not nothing to worry about." He said, "They're like pre-cancerous." I said, "Okay. Oh, thank you." He said, "No, a lot of these little things come up on your skin." He said, "All you'll do, put this makeup on, this ointment on it called F.U. Dicks."
What's it called?
F.U. Dicks.
You're making that up.
No, not E-F-U-D-I-X, I think it's spelled. Anyway, what it does, it burns it off, right? So while it's happening, before it actually falls off, it looks a bit gungy like that.
Oh, right, okay.
But that shows it's working. If you put F.U. Dicks on ordinary skin, it doesn't affect it.
Only
skin that needs it. Like a lot of things left.
So what do we say to cancer? We say, cancer, F your dicks.
F your dicks.
Because we were going to, the idea was we would talk about language and how different things mean different things in different languages, isn't it? Different languages.
That's right, yeah.
Because I've just been off with, spent a lot of time with some Dutch people. I was doing that concert, those concerts in Eastbourne and London, and most of the team were Dutch. And so it's funny, as you say things, you realise... You know, leading somebody up the garden path with something you're saying is like...
They would know what you mean.
Well, that's garden path, where are you going to... Why, what's the garden? Where, you know, it's like... But you know what it means, don't you? You know what it means. But
that's right, yeah.
You have to be part of that. And in Welsh, I mean, I was thinking...
Oh, they got to be in Welsh.
Yeah.
Let me think now. Like Bull in the China Shop, for instance.
Yes.
Is dros pen llestri. Over the top of the dishes. Well, I know what it means. It's crashing and throwing the dishes apart. So it's the same kind of meaning as bull in a china shop, right?
Yeah.
And there was another one my mother-in-law used to say called rhoi fiddle in a to. Paid a rhoi fiddle in a to, which translates means don't put the fiddle in the loft. And it comes from, what it means is don't give up. That's what it means.
Ah.
But where it comes from is when... I think it was when we all went Baptist in this country or something like that, and it became very, straight-laced.
Yeah.
And music wasn't, you know, allowed in certain houses. So they used to go around and smash all these instruments up.
Oh, no.
So they used to hide their fiddles and the door. They put the fiddle in the roof so they couldn't find it.
Wow.
That's how it came about. Yeah. What's the other one?
Actually, just before you leave that one, it's funny now. My Auntie Cridwyn, right? My grandmother Mavanwy, she used to play the church organ. She was a fantastic pianist. I always say 4 foot tall, 5 foot wide. But she could play everything, Bach and everything. And they were a big chapel, New Silo in Landor. And her sister was a fiddle player, a violinist, and she passed. We got the cutting somewhere. She passed her exam, highest in the United Kingdom as a fiddle player. But then when they sort of went to the gospel halls, she didn't play anymore. And my grandmother only played a pump harmonium. In a way, what a waste of a great talent, you know, putting your fiddle.
Yeah.
So really, as you say, putting your fiddle in the loft is not a good thing when you've got a talent.
Don't give up.
Don't give
never
up.
Give
don't
up. Give up.
Never give up. Never give
and
up.
And what's the other one? It was a funny one. Roy Hill had a talk. Oh, it's raining cats and dogs.
Right.
Mae'n bwrw hen wragedd a ffyn. It's raining old women and walking sticks. That's, I don't know where to go. But it's mad, isn't it?
That is mad. That is mad.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not as mad as saying it's raining cats and dogs. Because it's...
No, it's not really.
It's not,
cats and dogs coming down.
No, no.
Do you know what? It's very funny with language. You said you speak some Dutch people. Mm-hmm. I was in South Africa quite a bit. And of course, they speak a form of Dutch.
Of course.
The Afrikaans.
Yes, Afrikaans. Yeah.
It's a mixture of like German and Dutch, I think. It was mostly Dutch. A Dutchman would understand somebody speaking Afrikaans.
Wow.
Yes, it's man, you're my friend. I like you, man. It's good.
Do you know what? Because I you know a little bit of French, don't you? Because you go to school. Italian, you go on holidays to Italy.
Yeah.
You go to Holland, everybody speaks English. But
right.
Obviously, so you don't get... It's the sound. It's like, how do you get used to that? There's no clues. But actually, once you start listening a little bit more, it's like English. It's because it's like English with a very strong accent, and then
what is it? Asablief. I think that's please. Yeah. Yeah. Menyatuda telephone asablief.
Tutsins, 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 bye, tutsins. There we are. So,
Languages are great though when you think about it. Somebody said if you don't hear these things as a kid. Mm-hmm. You can't speak them because you don't get the you know it in your ear. Yeah. See, I learned Welsh, as you know, when I was about 30. But yeah. I've been listening to it for donkey's years because my grand seen here we go donkey's years
for donkey's
another one. I mean, donkey's ears. I think you get because we're Welsh. You say donkey's ears. Don't you? My grandfather spoke Welsh, so you know you'd always have the radio on as radio companies. Yeah. So it was in me somewhere.
Yes, yes.
And the teacher said to me, "You've been speaking Welsh all your life. You just didn't know it. It's in there somewhere." You know.
Yeah. I always say I speak.
We can all go tle and chawi in Wales because that's everybody hears it. Llanelli.
Now that's that's funny because now then two of the lads, one was called Chert, which was Gert, and the other was not Michael Chael. Michael. So I went, put that in your pipe and smoke it, which is another idiom, isn't it? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
So they've got it over there as well.
You know, when I went to South Africa first, I was working in a place called Umhlanga Rocks.
Right.
And it's a very famous resort. It's very expensive, right? But the South Africans, the white South Africans, call it Umhlanga, right? Oh. But the Zulus, whose language it is, go Umhlanga. And it sounds like our double L sound. Yeah. I don't think it's spelled like that, but that's Umhlanga. And when I used to say Umhlanga, they'd look at me, blinking it, he speaks Zulu. Yeah.
Sorry about the
drift. I don't speak Khoza. Khoza.
That's
they have all the clicks.
That's interesting, isn't it? That's very interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, in the bush, apparently, the bushmen, they nearly all clicks, but different sounding clicks mean different words. Whatever they do, you know. Do you remember Miriam McCabe? She had a hit called The Click Song.
No, what did it go like?
Oh, blinking neck, I can't remember. But it was a lot of clicks in it when she was singing.
Oh, really?
Miriam McCabe, her name was. McCabe. South African, but it was hit all over the world.
Wow.
Look it up, the clip song.
Yeah. Okay. So, if anybody's got any other those idioms that we should talk about maybe next week. I've been talking this week about having a portfolio career, Johnny.
Oh yes, we all got that.
Because it came up. I was at the football on Wednesday. Swansea City beat Stoke. I think that probably makes us safe. But anyway, it's Americans there, and you know the two. What are the two questions Welsh people always ask? I think. I mean, is it a Welsh thing? Or I'm not sure. You know, where are you from? What do you do? You know, because they're like good opening serves in a tennis match.
Yeah,
and it's
like,
so where are you from? You come back with, I come from. So he came from Pittsburgh. I went,
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but I'm going to Pittsburgh, you see, at the end of the year for the North American Festival of Wales. Now, I've been before to Washington. You know what Washington's like, don't you? Because it's the capital. Pittsburgh, I had no idea. But two things were good. One was he opened the door. And I walked straight through. Tell me about Pittsburgh. So he was able, we had quite a long conversation. I found out all about Pittsburgh. And the conversation just went on and on. But then he turned so I found out Pittsburgh's it's on three rivers, apparently. It goes into the Ohio.
A lot of Welsh people settled in Pittsburgh.
A lot of Welsh people. Because?
There's a coal dust.
Coal. And
mining and all that. Yeah.
So heavy industry, a lot of Welsh people there.
Yeah,
and so lots of lovely restaurants. Apparently, it's not steel anymore. So maybe we should take a leaf out of their book. You know, in this part of the world, it's not steel. They've got new industries, new technology, and they're sort of like they're moving on with green technologies. And the other thing, so then he turned the tables on me. He asked me my favourite second question is, "What do you do?" Well,
right.
He said, "Are you a singer?" I said, "Well, yes, but I'm also when I go out there." I'm going to be doing some. I'm going to be talking about Tommy Farr. I'm doing a bit of a keynote speech, and of course,
did he fight in Pittsburgh? Then was it that's where he fought Joe Louis?
No, he fought him in Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium.
Oh, Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
I think he trained. Where did he train? He trained with a lot of Welsh people in the camp. Maybe it was that. Maybe that was Pennsylvania. But it's funny because I think Johnny, and I think you are probably similar to me. A portfolio career is what I call it now. Because what do you say?
Well, yeah,
what
we all do different things, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, because you do.
I mean, thinking of me, I mean, I started off as a singer and a tap dancer.
Yeah,
I ended up, you know, acting, writing, and you know, ended up bits of this, bits of that. You just do it, don't you? You know, all sorts of things pop up.
I always think I love that thing when Dorothy Squire said, "Do you write songs?" And you said, I'd know it. And she said, how do you know if you've never tried?
Exactly. Exactly.
You've got to try.
You've got to try.
You've got to try.
That's right.
Because this last
You don't
of...
know what you can do until you try, do
No,
you?
No. I mean, it must
I mean,
be...
Dorothy, yeah. Go on. Dorothy wrote hundreds of songs we didn't realise about because Emily still gets, like last year, she had over 3,000 quid in PRS. Even now, after she's been dead 20 years, you know what
wow.
I mean?
Wow. I keep on telling the kids, I'm not wasting money on these records. I'm investing in their future.
That's right, not
spending their inheritance. One of these songs, Johnny, one of these songs, and we're all in clover for the next 100 years. Because I think they last 70 years after your death. So there we are.
I think it's 70 now, yeah. Cliff Richard to thank for that. He used to be 50.
All right, good old Cliff. Good
and
old.
Cliff Richard, 40, he said, no, there's people living longer and they've written this is their music and why should they lose it, you know, after 50 years?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Good for him.
Good old Cliff. Yeah, so, but the thing was, I suppose, the thing that confused this American gentleman was I was in a suit with a tie on because I was hosting one of the lounges for the Swans. So there I am saying, I'm going to America, I'm going to be speaking. And then, but the week before, I'd been singing with an orchestra. And then on the Friday, I'd come back and hosted the lounge for the Ospreys, which was great, actually, the Ospreys versus Sail Sharks.
Right.
You know, but you go to these events and basically you don't always know what's going to happen, do you? I mean,
you don't.
Experience does help you in that way. You know.
You turn up and they've got no sound system.
No sound system. First thing you do, check the tech. Is it working?
Check the tech.
Well, yeah, nothing. And where have I got to be? At what time? And who's going to be there? Who do I have to point out? Who do I have to thank? And tell you, we got taken by surprise, you see, because it wasn't. We are normally here in the Swansea.com stadium. And they were catering.
Is that what I did that gig with you? That big stadium?
That's right, the big stadium, but they were in the brewery field in Bridgend. Lovely setup, beautiful setup, and it was packed, it was rammed because it was a cup match.
Right.
So there was a lovely thing on the table, lovely sort of like platter on the table that people in knives and forks, they could just help themselves. Like lots of like, you know, like pre-starter type things. So then I announce, I say, right, the curry's ready. So we're going to do it table by table. It's like proper old school rugby. The curry's ready. So the first table go up, table of 10. They go up.
Yeah.
So we go and clear the plates. I'm thinking, well, let me help out. I'll clear the plate. Then we realise that the curry is there and they've got plates for the curry. They don't have a second set of knives and forks.
Oh, and what's the second course there?
Exactly.
The dessert.
And we've just taken all the knives and forks off with the plates. I'm thinking... Right. So then I go around the tables nicking other people's knives and forks so the first lot can have their curry while it's not too hot, not too cold. And then we have to go around getting knives and forks. What? I mean, it was, you know. But you cope, Johnny, don't you? Because that's what we do. That's what we do.
You have to cope. Some of the things we've done when you turned up, I turned up once. And then, where was it? I got this gig. It was down West Wales somewhere.
Yeah.
And I said, you haven't got a pianist. He says, okay, I'll bring my father because he's a pianist. He'd come and play for me.
Right.
I booked a drummer, a fellow called Fraser. He was a brilliant drummer. We get there. They got no piano. They had a euphonium. Is it a euphonium?
Euphonium. Tell people what a euphonium is.
Well, I can't really describe it. It's like a little organ, but you pump it with your feet.
Harmonium, that's right.
Harmonium. That's like...
Because a euphonium is like a... I think that's like a...
I like a bassoon. Yeah. No, sorry.
The harmonium.
It's a harmonium.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't do my act with a harmonium. You can't play jazz. So the old man said, well, I'll try my best. Anyway, eventually they found some piano somewhere that was out of tune. Anyway, we got through it. Yeah. But I mean, like you say, you never know what you're going to
find. You never know. And I think, you know, I was saying to them actually after that event, I said, you know, the thing about being professionals is you're going to make a mistake. You know, it's like, well, you know, when I was doing the thing with the choir, did I tell you what happened with the orchestra and the choir and everything? Did I tell you the one in London? Yeah, the one in London.
No, you didn't tell me that.
I was having trouble trying to remember the words, right? Because there was only like 13 lines, which were just me on my own. And the rest of it, I'm singing with everybody else. But we didn't have any notes and we didn't have any, you know, hymn sheets or anything. So I had to walk out at the right moment into the centre of the stage to be St. Peter. you know, and say, you know, I deny him, you know, cock crows three times and all that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah. But because I was so anxious about not forgetting the words, I went out too early. Yeah. So all of a sudden, there's orchestra, there's people, there's a folk, and I'm walking out there, and the music's still playing, and it's still like another 16 bars.
But you know what? That's great. That's happened a couple of times. There was a bloke used to be the drummer in the Palladium. I forget what his name was now. Kenny Clare, I think it was. Famous drummer.
Yeah.
And he'd been out on a bender in the afternoon, and he's like half drunk, and he's in the pit.
Yeah.
And it was the King and I.
Oh, right. Lovely.
And he's sitting there, and he fell asleep, eh? Because he'd had too much to drink. So anyway, the entrance of the little, what are they called? The little children. The entrance of the little children. Da 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 da. And it starts with a big gong.
Yeah.
Gong. Da 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 da. Right. So he's asleep now, and somebody elbowed him, and he woke up, and he went, "Oh, dog, it's the wrong place." And he got up, and he went, "Dinner is served." That's lovely, isn't it? Oh my God!
Well, you've just got to know how to get out. You know, how do you get out of it? So I'm stood in the middle of this stage now, right? So I'm thinking I'm here too early now. I know there's all this section.
What are you going to do? Yeah?
So I did some Peter around the fire, trying not to be seen, acting, which was like, a bit like this. I just held the jacket like this, and
you're reacting.
I looked at the light. I was, you know, I was. It was deep. I think it was method. Either that, or I was terrified. But being a professional doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. It just means
no. But you get over it. You get round it somehow.
Find a way to get out of it. Oh well. God. All right. So busy weekend. I've got another concert tomorrow now. Well, it's got Swans in the afternoon, and then I've got a concert in the night. A gospel concert. Choir based in Cardiff called Soul Connect.
All right.
So gospel concert, doing a couple of songs and hosting that, and then off to London on Tuesday for a cabaret.
Are you still going to do this what's it called? Something Cox?
Effie Dix. What is it? I played an Effie Dix in Piccadilly Circus. Crazy Cox, it's called. Crazy Cox.
Crazy Cox.
same thing.
It's French. It's spelled with a Q.
What are you trying to say? Of course it is. It's spelled with a Q. Crazy Cox.
I tell you, he does it a lot. Is Bobby Crash?
Bobby Crash.
He's always there.
They got a lovely piano. Oh, see, that's a whole new can of worms now, Johnny. Because I'm not used to playing the piano. You see, because I'm used to having audio, video behind me and stuff. And I can play guitar along with all the difficult piano parts. I'm having to learn the piano parts of songs that I haven't played for 10 years. It's hard work.
Well, can you take a guitar with you?
Yeah, I'm taking the guitar as well. But I'm thinking it's an 80-minute show. It starts at 9:10. So you've got to be pretty dedicated to want to come out on a Tuesday night at 9:10 to see Malpo and Crazy Cox. Don't say that. Oh, it's my nightmare. That's my waking up nightmare, that is.
Yeah. Do you know the trouble, you know, when you push your own shows out, that's my main worry, you know. Who's going to turn up?
Yeah.
It's like I did the one in Cardiff, and I did all the rounds. I spoke to all the radio people and got plenty of publicity. So, you know, touch wood, we had a good house, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can turn up somewhere, there'll be nobody there. That's I wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweat.
Thanks, Johnny. That's exactly what I wanted to hear before Crazy Cox on Tuesday. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
give Bobby Crush a ring. You're coming out.
Come on. Well, we'll see. We'll get by one way or the other. You've got to start somewhere, Johnny. You've got to start somewhere.
You have. But I mean, you know, did you really need this in your time?
I'm starting at the bottom. What's going on?
You start at the top and work your way down.
Exactly. My first gig in London was a place called Inn on the Park Hotel. Remember that?
Right.
Was it down by Hyde Park? Was it? It was like one of the. No, when you had a record out, you used to do something for the press, didn't you? You know,
that's right.
You do half a dozen songs and have a little chat, and that was my. It's been down the ever
since. In London in the old days, but see, they had cabaret clubs there then, but there was cabaret and dining, so they'd have an audience anyway. So you wouldn't worry that they didn't know who the hell you were; entertained the audience.
Yeah.
I used to do this celebrity restaurant a lot, which is owned by what's his blinking name? Paul Raymond.
Oh,
where he had the. He had the windmill and all that.
Yeah.
And but he was good to me, and I used to go, and it was a nice little club. Yeah. And there was a fantastic trio there, the Hedley Ward Trio. They're really brilliant musicians.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy doing that.
Yeah, brilliant.
And then there was another one called Quagliano's. There was another one called Churchill's. They were clubs, but they were like restaurant types. So you didn't have to worry, as you say, nobody knows. Who cares? There was an audience there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hope it's the start of many.
That's right. Did you ever do any of those Sportsman's Aid gigs?
No. What were they like?
They were good gigs. They would be at the Grosvenor and things like that, so you'd have a good audience.
I remember actually with the band we did the Grosvenor House and stuff like those.
You know what I didn't like doing? Weddings.
Oh, it's tricky.
Because, first of all, they've had a few drinks because they've had a good time.
Yeah.
The kids are dancing in front of you and you're trying to do what you're doing, skidding about the floor and you're trying to do your act.
Balloons everywhere.
I say, did Tom Jones really start like this?
So we used to do a lot of weddings with Mal Pope and the Jacks, but we were
loud. Different with a band. We were loud,
and it was already difficult because obviously for everybody it was their wedding, you know. So they said, "Can you do this? And can you do?" And I'd go, "Can you trust me? Can you trust me? There will be a golden moment when everything's done and everybody's ready to party." I said, "We've done loads of these. Can you just trust me that I'll know the right time to say, let's go?" And unusually they did, and they trusted us, and it seemed to go quite well. But all right, man. Well, all the best with your erudics.
Well, and you with the crazy cocks.
So it's Effie Dix from me, and it's
Crazy Cox to you.
Bye.
See you next week. Till Alfred.